It is good to see everybody today, and we praise God. It is October 1st, and we want to praise the Lord for the Fall Feast of Israel and for the nation of Israel, and I hope your prayers are with them as well as with the church. Today's message is entitled The First Step of Faith, Part 3. We're looking at faith in action in the life of Abraham, and we're going to look at Step 1A. And step 1B, the Bible says that the justified are supposed to live by their faith. We're to live in the energy and in the power and in the operation and under the influence of our faith. The Bible says we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So faith is to override the circumstances when we are making decisions. And so as we develop these topics, we want a greater understanding of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says this, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out." So I'm going to give you a heads up already. 1A in the first step of faith is when he was called. We've been studying that. You got to know the voice of God when he speaks to you. The first step of faith is hearing God. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So you got to develop that inner conversation with the Lord so that I know this is God speaking to me. I'm going to share with you quickly John 10 in a moment. My sheep know my voice. And then 1B is he went out. 1A is hearing, go out. 1B is doing. Take the step. And so we're going to look at that today. So let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and a cleansing by your blood. Father, forgive me of the sins that I've committed in this past week, even this day. And Father, I confess those to you. And I ask for a cleansing by your blood and a change by your spirit and an anointing by your spirit and a filling by your spirit. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will move upon us and within us. Holy Spirit, please take over. And in the quietness of this moment, Lord Jesus, we want to ask, as we ended our service last week, Father, what area in my life, what one specific area do I need to be living by faith in that maybe I'm not? Or I need to be exercising my faith. One decision I need to make, one step I need to take, one phone call, one meeting. Is there one thing, Lord Jesus, where I may be in a spiritual paralysis because I'm not stepping forward in faith? I'm drowning in what ifs. I'm drowning in wanting to know the end from the beginning. So Lord, convict me if walking by sight is stopping me from exercising and walking in the power of my faith. Speak to all our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, this is your time. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11, verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, he went not knowing where he was going, by faith." And I said this last week. Faith is an energy. It's a spiritual energy. It's a divine gift. We're talking about faith after salvation, where Paul says, "Unto every man is given the same measure of faith." I'm not talking about believing faith that gets you saved. Everybody's got that. But after you're saved, you get a measure of faith, a strength of faith that's imparted to you, which is part of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I've got the resurrection spirit of Jesus Christ in me. I've got the wisdom of Jesus Christ in me. And I've got the faith of Jesus Christ in me. So all those components are part of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So by the energy of faith, Abraham made a life-changing decision to follow a directive from God. God said, get thee out. So go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And let's continue to look at the first step of faith. 1a, hearing and recognizing the voice of God. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now those are a lot of blessings, all right? I'll show you, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you. You will be a blessing, all nations of the earth will be a blessing. And in verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Verse 1, the Lord said unto Abram, and in verse 4, as the Lord had spoken unto him. The first step of faith is hearing God. Hearing God's voice. Now, I want you to understand something in John chapter 10, and we studied this last week. The scripture says, my sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. They hear me. They enter into the sheepfold, and then they go in and out and find pasture after they're saved as they follow me. So there's no way to follow Jesus if you're not hearing his voice. So you've got to know his voice. You've got to recognize his voice. We receive the word of God through the word of God, through scripture, through the Psalms, through Proverbs, through the pastoral epistles as we study the word and have devotions and they take us to scriptures. But the Bible says, Paul says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that word in the Greek is not logos of God, which is the revealed intelligence. It's rhema. It's the spoken audible voice. And you say, well, Brother Leo, I don't hear a spoken audible voice of God. No, that's not what he's saying. But what he was saying in that passage was, how are they going to hear unless you send a proclaimer or a preacher, somebody to proclaim out or speak out the word of God? So he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So there's a power when you're hearing the word of God come from your radio or your internet or your television or from a pulpit or whatever. It should invigorate and strengthen and ignite your faith. But I want you to also know that the voice of God, that inner voice of God, those urgings of the Holy Spirit can be just as powerful when they move upon your heart and mind. And you know that you know it's the voice of God. Let me show you a verse of scripture I found not by accident but by divine appointment. I was looking at another scripture in Isaiah that my devotion took me to. And the Holy Spirit directed my eyes further up the page. So let me show you this verse of scripture. When God gives a directive, notice what he said to Abraham. He said, get thee out. It wasn't an essay. It wasn't a novel. The Lord gives you short, direct directions in life. Turn left. Turn right. Do this. Be still. But go with me to Isaiah chapter 52. And I was studying about Israel this week. We're in the season of the fall feast, praying for the nation of Israel and supporting the nation of Israel, knowing that if you bless Israel, your family will be blessed. That's the promise we just read. We're blessing the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on the face of the earth today, and you will be blessed. And so in Isaiah 52, I was again, studying verse 7 through about verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And I was reading the book, the Mysteries, and that's where my devotion took me. But my eyes went up the page to verse 6. And he said this, and he's talking about the millennial rule, but I think we can apply this to our own lives. And Isaiah 52 verse 6, and then he took me to another scripture I'm going to show you where he says the same thing in the New Testament. The Holy Spirit's just incredible. In Isaiah 52, verse 6, he says this, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that it is me. I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." They're going to know it's my voice. But I want you to understand, in your mind and in your heart, sometimes the Lord says, "Hey, it is I. Lord, is that you? Yeah, it's me. I'm telling you to do this. I'm telling you to take this step. I'm telling you to make this decision." And the Lord said, "It is I." Would you say that with me? It is I. Man, I almost started crying. I was getting so filled up when he said, "They will know my voice." And you know what I'm going to tell them? It's me. And you know, there are times, Cameron, I've heard the Lord say, "Leo, he calls you by name." He said, "Leo, this is what I'm telling you." There are times on a Saturday morning I get up and the Lord says, "Leo, we're changing the outline." And what I'll do, I'll take the yellow pad, I'll tear this out, and I'll crumple it up. And I've probably done it 20 times in the last 5 years. And then when I redo the outline, it's sharper, it's clearer, it's more concise. And I'll know it's in. So I want you, "Cleo, this is me." You know, you ought to be hearing that. You're crazy. It doesn't work like that. It does work like that. In John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep know me. I know their name. And he knows our name because he calls us by name." And through your daily devotions and your communion with the Lord, you learn the voice of God. Amen. And it's available to everybody. If it's not, there is no priesthood of the believer. The veil of the temple got ripped from top to bottom, and that doesn't mean anything. It means total access to the holy presence of Jesus Christ by every believer that gets born again and indwelt by the Spirit. Listen, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and in there is an altar. And in there are the wings of the cherubim. So I'm not saying it's physically there, but that is where the presence of God dwells within you. And he says in Deuteronomy, "There I will meet with you, and there I will commune with you." So when Paul said that our body is now the temple, he's saying within ourselves, we meet and commune with God. And all you got to say is, "Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need to hear you tell me what I need to do." And so look at that beautiful scripture. They in that day, he's going to be sitting on that throne in Jerusalem, as he sits on the throne in your heart now by the indwelling of the Spirit. "They will know my voice, and I will say, it is I." Now, go back to Genesis chapter 12. I'm sorry, go to 1 Corinthians 2, and then we'll go back. Let me show you the New Testament counterpart, and then we'll go back. And I shared this with you last week, but I want you to know, this is a huge part of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And you've got to understand this is available to you. God expects you to be living, walking by faith, igniting the Holy Spirit to move and work in your life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, "God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit the deep things of God, for the Spirit searches out all things." Verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God." Now, where is the Spirit of God? He is now in me. So I can know the things of God for my life as I raise my children, as I influence my grandchildren, as we do these things within our lives, as we make decisions to help out loved ones. And notice what he says, verse 12. "We have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know things that are freely given to us of God." Bro Leo, I just don't know what to do. I'm in a dilemma. Well, I want you to understand, freely given, that's grace. God wants to gracefully reveal to you the answer. He wants to gracefully reveal to you the answer of whatever dilemma you may be in. Verse 13, "Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." You know who your teacher is? The Holy Spirit. Whatever you're going through right now, the Holy Spirit. You know what that word also means? Counsel. The Holy Spirit's your counselor, your guide. And every individual situation in your life, oh yeah, Brother Leo, I've got faith. You don't have what the Bible's talking about. Faith is specific. Abraham, faith, why? Number one, because God told him, get out, and he got out. Number two, God told him to offer his son Isaac on an altar on top of a mountain, and he did it. Faith is specific. Don't tell me you have faith just because you believe in the existence of God. We're talking about operational faith. We're talking about experiential faith. We're talking about you looking back over your life and saying, you know, I made 5 major decisions on my life through the power and under the influence of faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And many Christians cannot say that. Many Christians cannot say that. And so, notice what happens here. Verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? So he's asking a question. Who out there can be instructed by the very mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe and the savior of the world, the power of the resurrection? And notice what he says. We possess the mind of Christ to instruct us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You ever looked at somebody and you say, man, I just don't know why you're doing this. And you say, all I can tell you is the Lord Jesus Christ has told me I need to do this. You know, I told you last week, twice I've left churches and folks want to come up and they said, why are you leaving? Did somebody do something? Are you not being paid enough money? Why are you leaving? And I'd look them dead in the eye, because the Lord's leading me to go somewhere else. Well, where are you going? Well, I don't know. You know, I came home one night in Brevard, North Carolina, and I told Patty, Sunday I'm resigning. And she goes, well, what do you think you're going to do? I said, I have no idea. I said, all God's telling me to do is resign. All the Lord is telling me to do is to step down. And he's got something else. Now, Patty, it's possible I could go back in secular work. But if I do, we're going to teach a Bible study in our home, maybe on Thursday nights. I know I'm still going to teach the Word of God. But I don't know in what format. Now, let me tell you something. God did not show me the end from the beginning. I didn't leave a deacon's meeting in Brevard, North Carolina on a Tuesday night. And on my way back up the mountain, God showed me a hardware building in Wayne County, Tennessee. And I walked in and said, hey, Patty, guess what? I'm stepping down, but we're going to a place called Waynesboro, Tennessee. And we're going to be in a used hardware building. And we're going to have a ministry for 20 years at that place. God did not show me that. All God showed me was there's not going to be a church paying me a salary, a travel allowance, an annuity, a health insurance, except housing allowance, etc., etc. That's all I knew. But you know what I felt? Freedom. Peace. Knowing, well, why? Because you were sticking it to the man? No. Because I knew what the first step was. Resign. Now, look at what it says in Genesis 12. This is how God works. Because if he shows you the end from the beginning, guess what? You're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. If he shows you the end from the beginning, you're walking by sight. Now, the same way he worked with Abraham, same way he wants to work with all you. Now, I want you to understand something. I know I give you examples of major decisions, but there are minor decisions you have to make within the Lord. Like you may be planning on going somewhere tomorrow and the Holy Spirit's heavy on you not to go. Don't go. Because then you may get a phone call that you need to go minister somewhere over here and you couldn't have done that if you'd have gone over there. You've got to know the voice of God and respond in all things if you're going to receive the blessings God has for you. Now, notice Genesis chapter 12, and I'm adding the thens, T-H-E-N, I'm adding them. Now, look at what he says. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Now, stay there, but in Hebrews 11, it says this. The Lord said unto Abraham, by faith Abraham left and departed. Okay? So the first step, all God told him was, get out. Get thee out. Would you say that with me? Get thee out. All right? That's all the Lord said. You know, you're not going to get a soliloquy from God. Because we couldn't handle it. He's not going to tell you five. He's just going to say something like, make a phone call. Get thee out. Go check on Joyce. That's how the Lord moves. That's how He works. Go see if you can go help so-and-so. Or He may lead you into a new profession or something, but that's how He works. Now, look at what He says. Get thee out. And then in verse 1 at the end, He says, and then I will show you, and then I will make of thee a great nation, and then I will bless you, and then I will make your name great, and then you shall be a blessing, and then shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4, so Abram departed, and then it set in motion all the blessings of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it again. When you're walking by faith, He's not going to show you the end from the beginning. And number two, He is not going to give you an answer for all the what ifs. Well, if I do this, what if this happens? Well, if I do this, what if that happens? Well, if I do this, what if this happens? If God's voice is telling you to do something, He'll take care of the what is. I resigned my church on a Sunday in North Carolina in June. Thursday morning in my office, I gave about 2 months' notice. Thursday morning, and nobody knew. I mean, it's not like we had internet back then. You know, people were riding mules to my church. On that Thursday, Ed Garner called me from Philadelphia Baptist Church in Wayne County, Tennessee. Now, you know what I thought? I'm going to drive to Wayne County, Tennessee and do a week revival and go back home. Never be back there again in my life. Going to find out where it is on the map. Gonna go there, took the long way, took I-40 all the way to 13, turned at Loretta's Ranch, came down that winding road, can remember getting here, stayed at the bed and breakfast, had to ask permission to use the phone, y'all's neighbor. That's a mean woman, that was a mean woman. Yeah, can I use the phone? I said, Patty, there's not even a hotel in this place. And I got a mean woman won't let me use the phone, but I'm here. How long did it take you? About 27 hours. I now know where Loretta Lynn lives. But thought I was going to be there a week and then blow back out. Set up stuff in the fall, as I did. But you know what? God knew the end from the beginning. I look back on it now, and you can see the power of God. And I want to say unto you, and I'm not going to stop this service, but we'll do it sometime soon. Hopefully you've got situations in your life now where you can look back, because now you're at the end and you can see where it was in the beginning. Amen. And you can see what God was doing. And you can say, yeah, I took a step of faith, and God blessed me in a magnificent way. And if He did, I want you to understand, whatever you're dealing with today, He'll do it again. Amen. And let that build your faith. Now, Abram took the step. Let me show you another guy that took a step. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And in Matthew chapter 14, we see Jesus walking on the water. Now, this is the realm in which faith operates. If you're going to handle everything in your life without the miraculous power of God helping, intervening, and taking action, you're missing out on Christianity. Christianity is about really saying, I know God did this. I know God did this for this person. I know God did this for our family. I know God has provided in a magnificent way. Just want to thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And recognizing His intervention and His movement. So in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, we're getting close to dawn, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The disciples saw and thought it was a spirit, and they cried out in fear. And Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Would you say that with me? It is I. All right, here we go again. Is the Holy Spirit not powerful? I had no idea He was going to lead me to the thing about Peter. Did not know that phrase was in there. And did not expect to find... I found the thing in Isaiah first. And then when He led me there about 15 minutes later, I said, there's the same phrase. It is I. You need to hear that. You need to know it's Him. And so Peter wasn't sure because it was still stormy. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come. Red lips. So he recognized the voice of God. Now, is that a directive from God? What did he tell Abraham? Get thee out. Three words. How many words did he give Peter? One, come. That's how God speaks to you. That's how God speaks to you. Leo, walk down there and pray with Santa. Leo, give Claude a hug. Smile, word of encouragement. That's how God works. You got to recognize the voice of God. You may go to school tomorrow and God move on your heart about some little child that's there that's had a weekend. You have no idea what they went through, but God wants you to encourage. And you've got to be sensitive to that. And in your eyes, there are small things. I cannot tell you how many times people have contacted me and said, Brother Leo, I can't believe you called me that day. Or Brother Leo, I can't believe, you know, we ran into each other or whatever. Well, believe it. God is that interested in everybody's life. And He's moving you around if you will be cognizant. Be faithful where you're planted. You know, be faithful at your work of business. Be faithful at the schoolhouse. Be faithful in your community. Be faithful in your ministry. Be faithful. God uses you in your faith, and you're the one that gets blessed. So He says, come. Now I'm going to stop right there because everybody preaches this a certain way. Oh yeah, Peter took his eyes off God and he signed. Not what it says. What do you mean it's not what it says? I'm reading it right now. It ain't what it says. You're reading it too quickly. Your mind's been clogged by people who preach it that way. Look what happens. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now I'm going to stop right there. Peter walked on the water. Amen? Hey. Now, you know what I started meditating on? How far did he walk? Did he walk from the end line to half court? Was that how far he walked? Think about that distance. We don't think that distance. We don't know how close Jesus was. I don't think Jesus was standing from here to there. I know artists paint it that way, but it doesn't tell us. Let's say he walked from the end line to half court on the water. Okay. We're not getting to the next part yet. I'll get there. Let's say he walked from the end line to the top of the key. Wow. Let's say he walked from the end line to the free throw line. Peter walked on the water. You know why? Because he took that first step. Nobody else got out of the boat but Peter. He walked on water. Now, look at what happened. God won't honor faith. Look at what happens. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Now I'm going to stop there. He didn't sink. He began to sink. There's a difference between sinking and beginning to sink. I don't believe Peter went much further than his waist, and guess who grabbed him? Jesus Christ. You take that step of faith, God's going to honor you. And things may get a little boisterous, all right? That's the King James translation. The wind may blow a little bit. You may waver a little bit. But I guarantee you, he's going to grab you. Now, we're not finished yet. So the Lord grabs. Now notice. Now he does say, "O thou of little faith, why'd you doubt?" You know, I don't think he's chewing him out. He says that to me all the time with a very loving, fatherly, compassionate tone. Leo, I walk with you and carry you into this pulpit every Sunday. Why are you nervous on Saturday night, Sunday morning? Why do you wake up with your heart pounding? Sandra, I know Betty's not with you, but Jesus is. Judy's up here. You know, we fall apart and we're praying. We worry about our stomachs. I'm ready for glory. I'm going into glory. We're all going into glory. I'm reading the book right now, the back surgeon, the neurosurgeon who drowned in Chile. And God brought her back. And it's incredible. 7 lessons I learned in heaven. It's just incredible, incredible story she shares. Look at what it says. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. So, Peter begins to sink. God grabs him. Now, let's say they're half court. Let's say they're at the top of the key. Let's say they're at the free throw line. But they got to get back to the end line where the boat is. The bottom line is this. Did the Lord carry them back in? Praise Jesus if he did. Or did the Lord hold him by the arm and they both walked back in? Praise Jesus if he did. Whatever happened, boy, did God honor his faith. And he'll honor your faith too. But you got to get out of the boat. You got to hear and recognize the voice of God. And then you got to take the first step. I'm going to show you one verse. I've got a whole passage, but I'm just going to show you one, and I'm going to close with it. And it's in Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to entitle this, and good Lord willing, we'll pick it up next week. But this section is entitled, The First Step or the No Step. And this tells you why people stay in the boat. And they never take a step of faith. In a certain area in their life where God's dealing with you to step out on faith. And it's really, Hebrews 3, verse 7 through 19, and we'll look at it next week. But I want to share with you just 2 verses out of it, where he says, verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." An evil heart that lacks faith. A heart that lacks faith, you depart from the living, active God as he's moving in your life when you're not living by a heart of faith. He's talking about the children of Israel, remember? And they said, "We want to go back to Egypt." He's trying to lead them in the promised land. And all they got to do is take that step. But you know what drowned them? The what ifs and not knowing the end from the beginning. The buts. But there are giants in the land. But there are walled cities in the land. We want to go back to the bondage of Egypt. But notice what it says in verse 18. "And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that faithed it not." So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief and a lack of faith. How do you enter into anything? You got to take a step. And so the Lord has something for you. based on you taking a step of faith in a certain area in your life. And we prayed about that last week. You know what we prayed last week? I asked everybody during the invitation. I said, I want you to bow your head and pray and ask God. Say, Lord, help me to recognize your voice as you're speaking to me about a certain area in my life. What area in my life am I not living by faith? There's something you want me to do by faith. Circumstances are not going to add up. I'm not going to see the end from the beginning. And Lord, help me to hear you clearly. And so I ask you to pray about that. And so today I'm asking you to ask God for the strength to take the step. Whatever He's leading you to do. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that you're saying this. The Lord's saying, Larry, it's me. This is what I'm telling. And so you confess it back to Him. Lord, I feel very strongly you're telling me to do this. Now, Lord, are you telling me to do this? Lord, is this what you're leading me to do? And if that affirmation keeps coming back through the Holy Spirit, say, okay, Lord, give me the courage. I'm going to take the step. I'm going to take the step. Brother Leo, you really have these conversations with God? Everybody ought to be having these conversations with God. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Strip away everything you've learned about religion. And commune with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Hear the voice. Listen for the voice. Hear the Lord say your name and say, it's me, I'm telling you this. Maybe it involves me. Maybe you're saying, you know, you really need to talk to Brother Leo and let Leo and Patty meet with you about something or whatever. You need to take that step. Well, I'm embarrassed. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're all sinners and nobody's perfect. And, you know, you let the devil keep you in bondage. But whatever it is, whatever area, say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. And then say, Lord Jesus, help me take. Give me the strength to take this first step. It may be a phone call. It may be a meeting. It may be a decision about a job. It may be a relationship deal. But whatever it is, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask you to take a few moments and commune with God about an area in your life where you may not be living by faith. And God is showing you a step. And you're paralyzed. Because of fear or uncertainty. Commune with God right now. And let the Holy Spirit have His way.